Amen. Last Sunday, I mentioned to you that the best way to read the parables of Jesus is to ask this question: what is this telling me about God, or what is this telling me about Jesus? This is, after all, what all of the parables invite us to do with their common opening statement, "The kingdom of heaven is like." This is an expression that is meant to make us think about how things operate when God rules and reigns, and thus it leads us into the place of thinking about who God is for us and what God has done for us. So rather than starting with the question that most people seem to naturally want to start with, which is, what is this parable telling us to do? The right approach, once again, is to ask the question, what is this telling me about God and who God is and what God has done for me? Now, this morning's gospel lesson doesn't clearly open with the phrase, "the kingdom of heaven is like," but if we put this text into its proper context, which is piggybacking off of last week's gospel lesson, which was the parable of the 10 bridesmaids or the 10 virgins, we can see that the opening phrase, "for it is as if," which is how today's begins, is really nothing more than another way of saying, "the kingdom of heaven is like." That's what that short little phrase, "it is as if," is really saying, which means that this is once again Jesus telling us something about who God is and how God acts for his people. And that's really important for us to note if we're going to get a proper handle on what Jesus is trying to communicate to us today. You see, a surface reading of today's gospel text would make it sound an awful lot like what this parable is doing is telling us we need to behave in a certain way. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey who summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. And we're told that he gave 5 talents. Now, a talent is not an ability or a skill, which is how we use the word talent today. A talent is a monetary unit, and 1 talent equaled 20 years worth of salary. So the first person that he gives the talents to, he actually gives 100 years worth of salary to. A large amount of money. He gives 2 talents to the next guy, that's 40 years worth of salary. And the final person he gives 1 talent to, and that's 20 years worth of salary. In each case, Jesus says that it was given to each according to his ability, which means that the master gave the talents knowing what each one of them was capable of doing with that talent by their ability so that they might bring a good return to the master. And this is the key, notice how generous in each one of these circumstances the man who is distributing the talents is. 100 years worth of wages, 40 years worth of wages, 20 years worth of wages. I think we would all be happy if someone were to come up and give us that kind of money, right? That's a lot of money. So this is an extremely generous and trusting man who is giving the money to his servants. So what do we then hear? We hear that the man goes away, and while he's away, the first slave doubles his 5 talents. The second slave doubles his 2 talents. And the third slave went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So when the master returns after a long time, hope you hear again Jesus' delay in returning, he comes to settle his accounts with them and discovers that the first 2 slaves have used the money he entrusted to them wisely. They doubled what he gave them. But the last one hasn't. And the third one gives his reason why he hasn't. His reason is this: "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." And at these words, the master says, sarcastically — we have to pick up on the sarcasm here, and by the way, God is a king of sarcasm. God loves sarcasm in the scriptures, but we often miss it. He says sarcastically, "You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest." What this master is saying is, "Oh, so you knew that I was a harsh man? Well, if I was a harsh man, you should have handled my money a lot differently than that." And having said this, he ordered that the talent be taken away from the slave, and that he be given, that it be given to the one who has the 10 talents. And then he says that that slave is to be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And as he does so, he announces, "To all those who have, more will be given, and they will have in abundance. But from those who had nothing, not even what they have will be taken away." Now, I'm sure that over time, some of you have probably heard this parable preach something like this. God has given each one of you a talent, and by that, I mean a skill, because I've heard people preach it this way. God has given you a talent, or he's given you talents, and he calls you to use those talents to grow his kingdom. And don't be like the third slave who kept his talent hidden and unused, because if you fail to use the talents that God has given to you, there will be hell to pay. Or perhaps you've heard some variation of that at some point. But here's a question. Is that really what Jesus is trying to say here? A shallow surface reading of this text might lead us to actually believe that. But if we take a minute to reflect on the text, we'll see that the heartbeat of this text really lies in the key moment of that third slave's answer to the master about why he didn't use his talent. That is the heart of the text right there. The problem in the parable is not first and foremost the failure of the slave to use the money that was given to him, but it's the fact that the slave has the wrong belief about the master. That's the real problem. The slave has the wrong belief about his master. He believes that the master, who has just handed out 100 years of salary, 40 years of salary, 20 years of salary, is a harsh man. But is the master a harsh man? The parable would actually lead us to believe anything but that he is a harsh man. The way that Jesus tells the parable, the master is actually an extremely generous and gracious man. After all, he gave those slaves far more than they deserved in giving them those talents, and in his love for them, he trusted them to use those things for good. He trusted them to use them in the way that they ought to use them. So the third slave is far off the mark about who this master is, and that's the real problem he's facing. It's a problem of belief. His faith is wrong. He believes the master is harsh when the master is not harsh. His lack of understanding about the nature of his master and his consequent lack of faith in his master lead him to a place where, as one theologian put it, he was exhibiting a religion that was only concerned with not doing wrong. Which leads us to the point of this parable. Who is God? Is God a harsh man, reaping where he did not sow and gathering where he did not scatter seed? Or is God a generous and gracious Lord and Master who pours out his gracious gifts on us people who don't rightly deserve them and trusts us to use them to his glory? Unfortunately, far too many people think that God is like the first one. Far too many people think that God is just a harsh and demanding master who's waiting for us to mess up and to fail at his commandments in some way so that he can drop the hammer on us. And what usually happens when people have that picture of God, that God is just a harsh and cruel man, is that they end up choking up in life, and they end up living out a religion that is only concerned about avoiding wrong. That's what life becomes all about. I just got to make sure I don't do the bad things, right? But what Jesus wants us to see in this parable is that God is actually the latter of the two. God is overflowing with grace and mercy for us. He is the kind of God who loves to lavish us with good gifts, giving us far more than we could either desire or deserve. That's what we see in Jesus. In Jesus, God has granted us forgiveness and new life when we didn't deserve that forgiveness and that new life in the least. In Jesus, God has promised us that we have become adopted members of his family and that we have been made members of his kingdom by grace alone, through faith alone, not based on anything that we have done, no works of the law. In Jesus, God has poured out the gifts of his Holy Spirit on us, giving us things like our money and our material goods. He's given us the skills and the talents in the sense of abilities, use of that word, that we all possess. And he's given us spiritual gifts as well to be used in joy to love and serve all those around us. God's grace grants us freedom to love and serve other people from a free and joyful heart. That's what we see in the first two slaves in this parable. They know that their master is a loving and gracious and generous man, and that actually sets them free to use what he's given them to get a return for him. They're not worried about whether or not they stumble or they make mistakes in doing that, because they know who their master is, and they know that their master is gracious, that he's loving, and that he's forgiving. So in some real way, they really can't go wrong. The only way that they could go wrong would be to misunderstand who the master is, to have a false faith in the master, in which case they would be led then to hoard the gifts that God has given to them in fear, like that third slave. Not wanting to do wrong, afraid that if they try to do anything, they're going to mess up and he's going to come down on them. And the warning here in this parable, and there's a very real warning here, the warning is that if you're going to perceive of God as a harsh man and treat God like a harsh man, well, then that's how he'll deal with you. But in fact, that's not how he is. So remember this, my friends. God is gracious and God is a loving God. He is full of mercy and he is full of compassion for you. He loves you and he forgives you all your sins. He has poured out and he is pouring out and he will continue to pour out his rich and his bountiful gifts on all of you. And knowing that, in Christian freedom, we have been set forth to go and joyfully serve our Lord by using those gifts to his honor and glory. May that be so for you. And may God double your talents. Amen.